You've said before, most agencies plateau because of the founder. What does that really mean? Episode 5 of the Agency Diaries podcast, and I'm here today.
It's so nice to have you on. How many episodes ago?
I did the first one.
First one.
So it was me and you did the first one, and now...
We're five in,
yeah.
Can't believe it.
Here we are.
So I actually have to answer your question though.
Yeah, you do. There was a question there for you.
Yeah.
What does that mean, Kate?
So what does that mean? It's a difficult one, isn't it? Because, and we've spoken about this on previous episodes before.
Yeah.
You 9 times out of 10 start an agency from being a freelancer because you might have gone from an industry and you decide you want to go on your own. There's so many freelancers out there that do, you know, great work in their industries, in their lanes. Then me personally, I got to the point of, okay, so I'm freelancing, I'm loving what I'm doing. I either grow what I'm doing or I go into a full-time job. And that was a massive sort of career. Which way do I go? I'm not quite sure for me. So I obviously decided to carry on with the agency and growing the agency. And I think when you get into that sort of founder, and we talk about that founder sort of mentality and founder phrasing and wording, it basically means you are the heart of everything because you start on your own. You become the client services manager, you become an AM, you become an email marketing specialist, you're an accountant, you're in HR, you're this, that, and you're the other. You are literally everything.
Yeah.
So then as you grow, pulling out of all of those different things is really difficult because everything depends on you. And Laura, we work together really closely on this a lot of the time. And questions you say to me like, Kate, but you don't have time to do that.
Yeah.
Like they are so valuable because otherwise I don't have that soundboard to go, I'm like, I can do that. I do have time.
Yeah, you can't.
But I can't because I don't have time and that's not where my time best spent is, right? So unpicking those sort of founder dependencies of sort of plateauing because I'm the bottleneck in everything.
Yeah.
That's taken us a really long time to get to where
definitely.
We are.
Definitely.
We're not fully out of it.
No, I think it's a work. And I think regardless, you're probably always going to be a bottleneck of something.
Yeah.
Because I think you spoke about it with Ali, like it's your baby. You're always going to be that hard stop of like, oh no, I don't want that happening. And we're like, Kate, let go.
Yeah.
Like,
stop.
It is very much a case of actually telling you to just let go.
Yeah.
But it's also, we don't want you to completely let go because that's the point. Like you care, which is why you won't. And it's why you're the bottleneck.
Yeah.
So it's working out kind of how to make that bottleneck a positive.
And also which bits of the bottleneck is my skill set versus my team skill set now as well. Like, you know, me telling... I don't know, someone in our team how to do an email campaign that's built on skill from somebody who might not do email. So actually that bottleneck becomes a really valid bottleneck.
Yes, definitely.
If it's something that actually isn't my skill set and I know absolutely naff all about it, should I be being a bottleneck on it? So it's like that constant balance of questioning, is this the right place for me to sit and become that bottleneck? And it's where the control, and I think for me, is the most difficult from... And I'm such an OCD.
I'm going to say, you are, in the best way, you are a control freak.
Yeah, literally, like, stickler for detail.
Yeah.
Love everything written down. Love a process. Like, not for the sake of processes, but I just love things documented.
Yeah.
And again, as we grow, the more we document.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. The better it's going to be. But yeah, that sort of control over delegation, over, oh God, I'm letting this go.
Yeah.
Sometimes makes me feel really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Email marketing being one of those.
Yes.
Purely because that's a passion, I think.
Because it's your passion, yeah. It's letting go of something that you started with. That's why why the agency began, because that was where you started.
Yeah.
But it's a case of learning, actually, well, you hire people and you work with people that you trust. You wouldn't have... I'd like to think you wouldn't have us if you didn't trust us.
Correct.
So actually, where's the case of, okay, well, I trust my team.
And also, they're better than me at what they do, right? That's why they're here.
Yeah.
They are.
We are incredible. I didn't really know how to come back from that. I was like, yes, I'm great.
Yeah.
But that is the case of actually, how do you then step back and how, what would you say as the founder, like, are your bottlenecks and how are you learning to overcome them?
So Laura, that's, and it's really good that you're with us today because
I fight you on them on a daily basis.
We've been on a journey, haven't we? Of
that's your nice way of putting it, I feel.
We've been on a journey where even if we go back to when you first started, I was on every client call.
Yeah.
I was in every email thread.
Yeah.
I was on every Slack message.
Yeah.
And now I am not.
No.
And I don't want to be.
No.
And I don't need to be.
No.
How does that make me feel? Empowered.
Good.
I feel great.
Good.
Because it means that I can focus my attention on, you know, where we're going, what we're doing, the bigger sort of business decisions, which take real big, like, time and yeah. brain capacity, that if I'm doing client stuff, I can't think up here.
No.
And this isn't like when you talk about business and, you know, all the things for the future, business growth, that's not stuff that comes easily to me.
No.
So it's really easy for me to go back into client stuff because that's my skill set and I love it.
Yeah.
And that is my passion and my hobby. So if you would say to me, Kate, can you just take this client call today? I'd be like, yeah, if you want me to, because I love that.
Yeah.
So it's leaning into your strengths, but also leaning out of your yeah. strengths, which again, is a real big challenge. Learning a new skill set, something you've not done before, which is all the stuff I'm doing now.
Yeah.
So is that a luxury? Yes, it's a luxury, but sometimes can be really challenging, I think.
But is that where you have to remind yourself that actually that's why you are an agency owner and not just working for someone else? Because
yeah.
that is why, that is what you, I'd like to think that's what you wanted to do. Like, otherwise you would have stayed a freelancer or gone to another agency or gone in-house. You can't be an agency owner on every client call. You can't be an agency owner doing the service because you don't have enough arms, time, or
brain power.
You don't have it. And that's why you have a team. Otherwise you have your team there fighting you to be like, well, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, why are you on my social client when that's my
also,
client?
Do you do socials?
Yeah. Like, what? Why are you getting funny about that? You don't understand. Okay. Oh, get off TikTok.
I hate TikTok. But no, it's so true. And I think one thing that we know really well as a team, and don't laugh when I say this, is the speed and agility that we move yeah. at. And that is as easy as, I've got this new idea. And I think I say that a lot.
Yes.
I've got this new idea and we need to do it.
I mean, here we are.
Here we are.
Here is one of our new ideas.
Hey? And that goes back to, like you say, it's that business piece of, okay, where are we going? How does that fit into this? And, you know, we're in the middle of planning a live event for mm-hmm. our agency at the moment and for our clients. That was an idea that was like, I think I was in bed and I was like, why are we not doing this? Why are we not all getting in a room and,
yeah.
and doing this event? So when I feel you're in that agency world, the agility and speed is really important, which we're really good at. I think that is one of our massive strengths, is how quick we are at
yeah.
things and how quickly, if something doesn't work, we can pivot. I think
yeah.
that is a massive core strength of ours. But also being quick at new ideas and where that takes us in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So whilst my brain is in that piece, I can't be in client stuff.
Yeah, which I think is why.
And that really excites me, that piece.
That's good. So yeah. then what would you say, like, when was the moment you realised that you were the bottleneck? I know we've said, like, we've grown a lot with it, but when was that moment you went, actually, no?
Probably yesterday.
Oh, right. This is still a learning curve then.
Yes, this is still a learning curve. And I think I started the day with like a full inbox of like 50 emails,
yeah.
spent the morning and I was actually looking at what I was doing yesterday, wrote down my time, because that's a thing that we're talking about at the moment,
yeah.
time tracking. And I cleared my inbox down. I replied to everybody, got it down to zero. I was like, yes, I've done it. And then I had a full workload to do.
Yeah.
And then I looked at the workload and I was like, my team are waiting for quite a lot of things from me. So then that makes me still a bottleneck.
Yeah.
But does that make me a client bottleneck? No. Does that make me an outward facing marketing bottleneck for us?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm.
So you could kind of say there's different bottlenecks and different types mean different things. Will I always be a bottleneck? I think as we scale and as we grow, there will become less
yeah.
bottlenecks. But I think that'll take learning.
Oh, like, yeah.
It's always going to be a challenge of, right, Kate, you need to let go of that now.
And I think we'll forever have that debate of, you kind of have put things on me and then you'll go, but where are we? And I'm like, Kate, it's under control. Like, there is no...
or it's with you.
Or it's already waiting for you. Like,
yeah.
you've already... get to that bottom of your email and that email is there ready for you. Like,
Laura.
It is a case of just having to kind of, not hold your hand, but hold your hand in a way of going, it's okay. Like,
yeah.
there's no fires.
speed.
Like, there's no fires. Like, we're all good. Like, if there was a problem, trust, again, it's a trust thing that we would come to you.
My WhatsApp would be brimmed.
Yeah, like, we would come to you if there was a problem. Same as how you come to us if there's a problem. And it's a case of you learning to be like, yeah, it's okay. They have got it. And I can actually go and do that. And I can take a week's holiday.
Yeah.
And that's a really good point. The company doesn't fall apart.
That's a really good point as well. It's taking time off and knowing that you can have time off as well.
I think before I started, had you actually ever had a week off?
No, not without my laptop.
And have you now had time off?
So there was a bit of a caveat to having a good holiday last year, right? So I had one holiday last year where I went to Croatia.
Yeah.
And I did not touch a laptop the whole time. Yay. I was there. It was a week's holiday. We were all good.
We were fine.
There was no drama. No. It was amazing. And then on the flip side of that, we were just going into our busiest quarter and I was just on the back end of a holiday. Yeah. Was I in France, I think?
Maybe. I can't remember.
I think I went to France just for a shorter break and it felt like the world had ended while I was away. And that wasn't from a client perspective. I think it was just time of year.
Yeah.
Number one. And there was just a lot of moving parts going on. So that then meant that I didn't take a holiday.
Yeah. But is that then where you feel like actually you were a bottleneck because those moving parts that should have been happening, could they have happened elsewhere? Did you need someone else that could have taken them on? Like, is it a case of that you're a bottleneck because you need to be at the minute? Or is it a case of you're a bottleneck because you want to be?
I needed to be at that point. Yeah. And I think I will not be having a holiday at that time of year again.
Fair enough.
Purely because it was just a really busy time.
Yeah.
Lots of moving parts, lots of things lining up. But it is testament to say I can take a break when things do line up and things are right.
Yeah.
But that one just particularly didn't.
But then I think we all have that. We can all have like a long weekend and then be like, damn it, I actually had loads of things to do and it was really stressful. That doesn't just mean because you're the founder that happens.
Yeah.
Like, all of us will have our own things. And I think it's okay.
Yeah. And what I find really difficult and something that I'm going to try and focus on more in 2026 is taking time off.
Yeah.
But being at home.
Actually just enjoying your own space.
I can't do that.
Like, enjoy your mortgage.
Home should be work.
No.
It's really difficult.
Enjoy your mortgage. That is what you're working for in reality. Yeah. Like,
whereas I don't, I'm like, I need to go away.
Yeah, no, you can very much sit at home and just watch telly.
Yeah.
And just, you know.
I can't. I need to work on that, Laura.
Yeah, that is a big thing. I think
big work on.
I think we've all worked on it as a team as well. Like, having lunch breaks is so hard.
I still don't have those.
Yeah, see, get that Slack icon on. Have those 30 minutes.
I saw Phoebe had an olive.
Phoebe has an olive. I've gone for a salad bowl.
Maybe I'll have a chip or something.
Yeah, it's really good. And we have it so your notifications are off for 30 minutes. I was folding my washing yesterday just being like,
Kate's not typing to me.
Like, it doesn't even matter if she is because I can't see it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. And like, the world's not going to set on fire in 30 minutes.
You
can take a break. And
that is
just about removing yourself and realizing where that bottleneck and that kind of personal blocker is, I think.
Yeah. And I think as well as things are growing at speed in every direction, there are things where I have to either be across the top level of it and then hand it over, which makes it difficult because it's, okay, how are we going to do this? We work it out and then...
Then you leave and we're
I leave
like,
it. Yeah. So there's that, but there's also things that we necessarily haven't worked out yet, which then takes time for me to work out and then teach the team on a new process. And this is how we're going to do it. And then, actually, is that process working?
Yeah, actually does. So then is I that have right? Yeah.
Then go back in and then I become a bottleneck again. So I think it's being aware is really important.
Yeah, definitely.
Being selective is also very important.
Yeah.
And also something that I find myself doing at the moment is prioritising massively.
Good.
Because like yesterday I was looking at my Monday board and I was like, oh, so I'm just going to have to work till midnight tonight.
It's like, no.
And then I was like, oh, but I could actually push quite a lot of that
stuff.
Yeah,
I'm going to say.
It's not actually all that critical that it's done today. So, and that goes into work management, doesn't it? Which again, I'm a stickler for detail and OCD and, you know, all of those things. Like if anybody looked at my Monday board, they'd be like, whoa, because everything's in there. But again, prioritizing your workload, what's important. And from a founder perspective, I prioritize it based on just like when I spoke to Ali in our previous pod, is it going to affect the business? Is it going to help get new sales in? Or is it going to affect my team? Yeah. Like those three things for me are like, okay, so what's the priority right now?
Yeah.
And sometimes that means I have to, you know, leave you guys unread for a little bit because my head is in like something around accounts, which I hate. Or, you know, whether it's a new process on something or time track, all those things that I love. Like I was saying earlier, like it takes headspace for me to then get back into the bit I actually really love.
The bit you want, because I feel like we're all the guilty, the fact that we're very easy to get sucked back into the thing you love.
Yeah.
Like if you ask me to do something on like
socials,
I'm there. I don't care about what Kate's asked me to do on processes. Yeah. It's gone. Client management is gone. Ask me to give you a review on TikTok on what's performing. I'm there. I am
write a social strategy.
I'm on it. And I think that's the, like, we're all guilty of it. And it's so easy when we all say, like, well, if you give me what I love, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
But it's a case of actually, well, what I do, what I love, I can get done so much quicker.
Yeah.
Then we get the boring stuff that takes headspace out of the way. And then the bit that actually doesn't require much headspace from me.
Yeah.
Get it done later.
Yeah. And I think as well, again, I was saying to Ali on a previous episode and when we spoke to Hannah, my most productive time to think about bigger picture stuff is outside of working hours. Yeah. And one of my biggest things this year is I need to make sure I can do that inside working hours.
Yeah.
Not like, when everybody finishes work at like 5 o'clock, I have between 5 and 6 and then it gets from like 6 till 9 and I'm like, oh, this is pure gold because there's nobody there. Like my inbox goes down, like my message, like that's my moment to reply to everybody. Like I never leave anybody unread at the end of the day. That is my OCD, like through and through. Good trait or bad trait, I just can't do it. And for me, that's like a time of gold.
Yeah.
But actually in the morning when everything's starting to kick off and tick off, like I go to the gym.
Yeah.
Because I don't have the headspace at 8 o'clock in the morning to sit down when things are starting to tick off and be like, right, I'm ready.
Yeah.
Whereas I was saying to Phoebe only yesterday in our team, for me, my most productive days are the days I've been to the gym in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm the same.
Because my brain is like fully on fire.
Yeah. If I've like gone out and walked the dogs in the morning, I'm like, oh, yeah, great start to the day. Like I'm ready.
Yeah.
And I also think that's something to do with working from home.
Yeah.
It's having kind of journey to work, isn't it?
So yeah.
Otherwise you're not rolling out of bed, strolling into your office. I think it's that getting into the mindset of work. And I think that will then help you with the treating your home like home.
Yeah. Like, I love my home, by the way. I absolutely love my home. But yeah, no, 100%. So it's work it. It's finding the time to do the bigger stuff, but in the normal day to day, which I'm not there yet.
Well,
I'll let everybody know when I get there.
Yeah. We'll
and how you. I did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I guess the other piece around sort of being aware as well is, and something I try and do, maybe not as often. And it's something that, so we have another podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know if we've mentioned
it. Yeah, we do. Mm-hmm.
And we interviewed someone on there and she said something to me that has stuck with me, actually. And she said every quarter she sits down and she goes through and audits everything that she touches within the business. Mm-hmm. So she goes through and she goes, okay, so this month I've done sales process, I've covered, bear in mind they're a food brand, so I've covered retail, I've done ops, I've done this, I've done that, I've done this. And she audits everything she's touched that month. And she'll say to herself, am I the best person to be doing this job?
Yeah.
And then she will go through and go, yes, no, yes, no. Everything that's a no, she then factors into her business plan and her growth plans.
Yeah.
How do I then fill that with someone who's better than me at that job? And like, that really stuck with me because I thought that is so simple, but that is so clever.
Yeah.
Like if you actually sit down and audit what you do on a week by week basis, month by month, or quarter by quarter, which bits are you inefficient at because you don't have the knowledge and who else can support you with that to be efficient?
Yeah.
Like that is so overlooked.
Yeah, it's a really good idea.
Isn't it?
Yeah, really good.
And also thinking about, again, like if you can't find somebody to do the job, how can you then systemize it?
Yeah.
Could you use AI to help you with it? Which, again, you know, we talk about AI coming in. It's not coming in, it's in.
It's here.
Yeah, it's totally here. So how can you systemize approaches or, you know, processes or whatever that is by using AI?
Yeah.
I think, again, from a founder perspective, there's things that can help with that.
Yeah.
Like yesterday I had an email from, it's actually a fellow agency, and there was this little like link in the footer of the email. So I can't I'm not going to name who the platform was, but I clicked on the link and it was like an AI responder that goes through all of your emails for you. You don't even have, you literally just hit start. It goes through your inbox, creates all the draft replies.
What?
Yeah, literally drafts them. And you just have to go through and approve and send them.
That's
and
I was wild. Like,
so my 50 emails in my inbox, you could have
got done in about 2 minutes.
Do you know? But I think then that goes back to that sort of control piece.
Yeah,
of,
exactly. Ooh, I don't want to.
I wouldn't like that. But that's a really good way of saying how you can systemize things because, again, AI can help you with that. Do I, as a founder, feel like that's the right route for us right now? No.
Yeah. But I think it's all kind of relative, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly that. But I guess auditing it, systemizing it, removing, and Laura, we've got a great example of this, removing that approval layer.
Yeah.
So, and again, a really good example of that is our socials that go out.
Oh my God.
Our socials that go out felt like a really big piece of my heart.
I felt like I've been beating them out of your hand with a stick since the day I joined. And that stick's just getting bigger and I'm slowly winning.
And I'm like, this is huge.
Yeah.
But now when I look at it, like, is that going to change the business performance? No. Is that going to change where we are?
Is it going to bring in sales, whereas you could be spending that time bringing in sales?
And also, are my team better at socials than me?
Yeah. If we're telling you something, is it probably because it's relevant?
So removing that sort of approval layer around, you know, do you need to be approving stuff before it goes out? I mean, don't get me wrong. There are things sometimes when, you know, it might be about language. It might be about,
There's
tone.
Always going to be that layer. But I think when I really think about it, like the feedback you used to give on social feedback.
Huge.
I'd be like, Kate, this has taken me like 3 days to get through 1 week. Whereas now you're like, yes, okay. Yeah, mend it. Or if you're like, Laura, what do you think? And I'm like, I'm happy with it. You're like, right, I trust you, go.
Yeah.
And that is massive, because take that back 2 years ago when I started.
Yeah.
You would be like, it needs to be done 5 times more. And then you'd end up doing it yourself.
And also, I feel like you know now what
we know
looks
what you like and what you don't.
Yeah.
Definitely. It makes a difference.
Which is huge, isn't it? So I think removing that sort of approval piece where you don't need to be involved is a massive one. But also the other piece, and you've kind of just touched on it, is around your team. So you surround yourself with a team who are better at things than you are, right? Mm-hmm. On purpose.
Yes. Yeah.
So how can you empower your team as a founder so you're not going to be the bottleneck, mm-hmm. but so that they own and run with it and they're like, this is my baby now.
Yeah.
And that can happen in multiple ways, right? That could be like, I don't know, a really good example, trial reels, Laura, on Instagram, right? If a trial reel does really, really well, someone who's running that in your team, they might be like, oh, I've smashed it. It's worked. It's great. As an example. So how can you empower your team to get that feeling? Yeah. Another good example, if an email, so I love email, if you didn't know, talk about it all the time. Laura is now an email pro. If an email does really well, Laura picks up on it. Mm-hmm. Laura smashed that. Yeah. I didn't even get involved in any of that. Laura's now an email queen. So again, Laura will then, well, you tell me, did you feel that I nailed that?
Yeah, definitely.
Because you owned it.
Yeah.
So there's that sort of team piece around how can you make your team have that feeling of, I've owned that, I've nailed it, and the results have worked.
Yeah.
And leaning into data really helps with that piece as well, I think, because
definitely.
It backs it up a little bit more. But I would say those are my sort of key bits around bottlenecking, how you can sort of step away from bottlenecking and be a bit more aware of it as well.
I think that's the thing. It's being aware. I think you're always going to be a slight bottleneck.
Yeah.
But it's actually owning it and being like, right, okay, I know this is a blocker.
Yeah.
Guys, bear with me, or how can we fix this? And I think that's really, really important. And especially with us being a really small team, we're all bottlenecks in some way, shape or form. Like I can bottleneck Phoebe. I can bottleneck you on something that you're waiting for. I'll be like, I'm not on that right now. I cannot help you. But it's a case of actually, right, well, how do we work as a team?
Yeah.
How do we all lean on each other? And actually, how do we all own, like you said, it's being proud of something, and being a smaller agency gives us that kind of, actually, we owned that. We did it.
Yeah. And it's like when we were saying to Ali, you know, when you are a small team, as a founder, you can work really closely with your team.
Yeah.
And that's really easy. That becomes a really easy process. I mean, it's not always easy, but it becomes an easy process.
I don't know what you mean there. You looked at me and went, it's not easy working closely with your team. Thanks.
That becomes an easy process, right? But what then becomes more difficult is as the team grows,
yeah,
how do you then, you know, like the founder can't speak to five different
no.
people and have those conversations, which is then where you think about seniority of the team yeah. and how you can then
and
start
how actually
to stack
eventually
it.
You won't be doing one-to-ones with every single person in the team.
Yeah.
Like, you shouldn't actually, as a founder, be accessible to everyone every second of the day.
No.
Like when I think when I worked in big, like not even in marketing, in really big companies, did I have direct access to my manager of like the store every day? No. Because they didn't want to speak to someone who worked 4 hours a week. Like it's really like it's a case of yeah, it's great that you're really accessible, but actually, should you be?
No.
Should you only be accessible to kind of the senior team?
Yes. Yes. No. Yes.
Like, who do I want to talk to? Not you, but I'll speak to you. But that's okay. Like,
yeah.
You shouldn't have, like, for example, if we had like an apprentice or something, you shouldn't be speaking to them every day. And that's not a bad thing.
But I think what's fair to say is, and the reason we set up the agency diaries.
Yeah.
Is to show our journey on this.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. I think that's the point is, well, you didn't come here to say, I've done it all and I'm an expert.
I have not done it all. I'm not an expert. But what I am doing and what we are doing is we are living and breathing this whole thing and learning along the way. And the more we can share that journey, the more we can be honest about that journey.
Yeah.
You know, we have massive highs. Like I am already getting so excited about our event, like, and for me, if anyone was to say, Kate, like, what is the best moments of your career in a yeah. year, our events are those
They're
moments
amazing, yeah,
because it's getting everybody in a room, everybody trusts us, supports
yeah,
us,
it's
loves
other people
us.
Actually want to come and
they
like,
want to come
and sit in a room with us, it's
yeah,
like,
and
all right,
I'm like
thanks.
We created that,
yeah,
like so for me that is a massive sort of high mm-hmm. in what we do. But then there are also massive lows to it because I sit in dark rooms a lot. I turn my like any form of phone off, any light off, because sometimes it gets too much.
Yeah, it gets a lot.
And I think my favourite line to you, well, not at the moment, but, you know, we're in quarter one,
yeah.
in the beginning of the year. And for us, it gives us a really good time to lay the foundations for the yeah. rest of the year. So there's a lot of planning, a lot of like strategic decisions, processes, all of the stuff that we love.
A lot of paperwork.
But that means that then brings in that sort of overwhelm.
Yeah.
And those dark rooms become more often.
Yeah.
And my favorite line to you is, I'm just spinning a lot of plates yeah. at the moment. So, and I recognize that when I say that to you, you're like, right, I'll just leave her.
Yeah. I think we're all very good at just being like, let's just not speak to Kate. Like,
yeah.
I now wait for you to message me in the morning, unless I yeah. need something like urgent. I'll be like, I don't actually need to speak to you every morning. Like, honestly, I don't need to. But if I need something, I know you're there. Same yeah. as for me. Like, I know that you'll come to me when you need something, but there'll be like days where we just won't need to speak to each
no.
other. But that's no. fine. And I think that is a case of us just being like,
yeah,
there's a lot going on.
And I spoke to somebody actually. So, and again, I'll talk about this really openly. My inbox is my biggest battle at the moment.
I feel like you say it to me
all the time.
If I had a pound every time you said it, I'd be rich.
You'd be rich. My inbox is my biggest battle. And it's purely because they are emails of big decisions as
yeah.
well. So they're not like small emails that are like, oh, thanks, cheers.
Yeah, you're just like, I can't just delete that.
No, like I have to fully think about it and own the decision to reply to the email. And somebody said to me, they were like, well, why don't you just stop using emails? And I was like,
what?
Yeah. And it was actually another agency owner. And he said to me, yeah, you need to like be really strict with your boundaries on your emails and not reply to them. And, you know, like do this and do that. And I was like, but the business doesn't run unless
yeah,
I reply to these emails.
Yeah, that's chaotic.
So it's for me right now, and I'm sure lots of people, again, can relate to it. It's a necessity that I'm replying to them at
yeah.
the moment. Is it right? Is it wrong? I don't know. It
yeah.
probably isn't right. And it probably is taking too much of my time. And there's probably better ways to manage that. Like, reply once every day in the morning.
Yeah.
But again, like things don't move.
Or even filtering things to like out of your inbox. Like, can
Crazy.
They go to our Hello app, or can they then be dealt with on a wider level? Or it's things
just
like that.
Crazy.
It's working out Well, actually, does everyone need your email address?
So the funny thing is, I'm in email marketing and I have unsubscribed to more emails in the last 2 months than I've ever done anything, purely because what I'm trying to do is create an inbox now with no noise.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's really important.
And it feels noisier than ever.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah, okay, good. So we've learned
that's working well.
Yeah. But again, I think it's that caveat, isn't it, of, you know, where is your time spent? And actually, you know, as a team, we keep email comms to a minimum.
Yeah, it's only ever like kind of important things yeah. we email, but
yeah, but we try and keep it down, don't we?
Yeah.
You know, we're not an agency that bash emails backwards and forwards. We try and use like really strict line of comms, whether that's Slack or whether we put stuff in Monday.
Yeah.
But still, my inbox is just my biggest battle. So maybe in like a couple of podcast time, touch base with me and ask me how my inbox is.
Not sure we'll get there in a couple of podcast time, considering it's been 2 years.
Yeah, I know. It's been a long time. But I think it's that sort of founder evolution, you know, like as the more I hand off and the more I get rid of and the more processes we get in place and the more this journey and sort of growth and scaling piece carries on, which, by the way... is really exciting.
Yeah.
Like, yes, it's hard work. Yes, we're all digging really deep at the moment, but we will pay dividends in the end because, like, Laura, if we go back 12 months, even 12 months, we were just on the border of, do we do all food and drink?
Yeah.
And now we are fully owning our lane.
Yeah.
We are a recognised agency in what we do in our niche. I went to an event last week. We got a call out for being in our niche and firmly owning our niche. And I was like, I nearly cried. I was like, oh my God, that is so powerful.
And
because
2 years ago you heard that, you would have died.
Yeah.
Absolutely died.
And we've done it. And what really, really, really makes me so proud is we've gone even bolder.
Yeah.
Even in the last sort of 3 months, we've gone really bold our industry.
Yeah.
We've gone loud. And there was a point where I was really nervous and really twitchy about, okay, I think we've gone too far with our niche.
Yeah.
And we had a bit of drop off because we went so niche with it. And again, that brings really key challenges. And now, oh my goodness, we are paying dividends for
that. Exactly. I think that's a case of actually just owning it. And again, it goes back to trusting it. Whether it's trusting your team, trusting what you believe in.
Yeah.
And that was a case of, I know we can't keep going back to when I started, but I think that was quite a pivotal moment.
It was huge.
So it was a case of like, you hired me being like, yeah, we're a food and drink agency. Came on, I think we had one food and drink client.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, are we?
And now how many?
And now that's majority of our clients.
Yeah.
And it keeps growing. And it's so exciting that actually we're like, yeah, we are experts. And we can say we've got experience in this and this and this.
And do you know what really excites me as well? And this is kind of going off at a tangent, but this does go back to founder bottlenecks. We had a prospect lead this week.
Yeah.
And the lead came in and I said, hey, how did you find us? Love to know. AI served us as
a food and drink
expert.
Yeah.
And I was like, we've made it.
Pretty cool.
I was like, that's it. Mum, we've made it. We've done it. Mum, we have absolutely smashed it. Yeah. Like, and that goes back to the evolution of a business, the evolution of a founder.
And staying in your lane, isn't it, really?
The evolution of your team as well. Like, as you become less on things and, you know, your team own things, actually, that's huge.
Yeah.
Like, that's massive. It's actually giving me goosebumps talking about it because it's great. It's absolutely brilliant. But yeah, I think my pieces of advice around bottlenecks are constantly audit yourself. What are you doing? Are you in stuff you should be? Is there somebody better for the job?
Yeah.
Like, and just really think about, do you need to be in that conversation?
Yeah.
But also, like we said, you know, we're learning, we're growing, we're doing it.
Yeah.
We are here to tell the truth, which is which is really important to me as well, more than anything, because we're not glamorizing agency world. Like, I think the bags under my eyes are really tired this morning. But yeah, if I would love to hear if any of our listeners are in that sort of phase of systemizing stuff, pulling out of, you know, whether it's operations, whether it's sales, whether it's delivery, whatever that might be. Again, how are you finding that? Because I found it really difficult. I'm still finding it really difficult.
I was gonna say.
But again, you know, we try as well as much as possible, especially with the agency diaries, to package up some of our knowledge and some of the stuff that I'm learning along the way as well. So we have created our agency survival kit,
yeah,
which goes through, you know, whether it's things around energy, whether it's things around what you should be thinking, whether it's a framework to deal with a difficult conversation.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of things in the survival kit that I think are really, really valuable when you're in this agency world, if you like, or this creative world. Even if you're a freelancer, there's stuff in there that you'll find of value. So make sure you go and download it. It's free.
It's free.
And follow the agency diaries. Yeah. We are on Insta.
Insta, yeah.
So please go and have a look at us. We are on LinkedIn as well, but Insta's like, it's Insta's doing really well. Yeah. And also the conversation on Insta that we're having at the moment, I'm loving. I love hearing from people as well.
I think that's really key to say that, like, you are speaking to Kate as well. Like,
yeah,
it is. It's coming from you.
Yeah. So if you're anyone having a crap day, please tell me.
Yeah. I'm going to say, have a moan.
Yeah. Let me know. But yeah. And also, obviously, we're on YouTube as well.
Yeah.
So go and follow, like, and hopefully lots more honest conversations to come.
Yeah.
But yeah. Thanks for being here, Loz.
That's all right. Thanks for having me.